Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
6:15 now, Tuesday morning, October 29th, 2 days before Halloween, 1 week before the presidential election. Who knows how long before we know who the next president of the United States is. Highs of 83 today, 84 that way all the way through next Wednesday. And maybe a 40% chance for showers on Halloween, 35% on Friday, so not a rainout or anything, but just be aware of that. Aaron Dusso joins us now, Associate Professor of Political Science at Indiana University, Indianapolis, to get the latest on the presidential race. How you doing, Professor?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Early voting, I will remind the listeners, ends today in Louisiana. How's the early voting been going in Indiana, do you know?
It seems to be just a bit down from 2020, but it's looking pretty good. We heard lots of stories of two-hour and three-hour long lines.
I get so tired of getting these texts, and we've been getting them for years and years now, and it's really getting worse about, you know, this one's dumb because they vote Democrat, that one's stupid because they vote Republican. It's turned intensely personal. But what are your thoughts on this as a political scientist, just in terms of the state of the country?
I mean, yeah, the polarization has been the story now for, you know, at least a couple of decades. Basically, since the 1980s, the United States has moved, you know, both elites and the electorate itself have moved to the two poles of left and right, liberal and conservative. And that comes along, you know, what comes along with that is some undesirable effects. People begin to see the opposition not as someone we can compromise with, but as someone we have to defeat, as if we're in a war with them. And it also has a side effect of our team essentially can do anything, right? We start to become less sensitive to the negative things that our leaders, our party does. And so we are willing to look the other way, even when our party, you know, has leaders who commit crimes. And that's something that is really attributable to partisanship, because we don't see another option. And that's a real problem in a country, a democracy like ours, where we should be able to react to reality and see things with some type of objective mind.
Yeah, I hate to bring this up, but I live in a neighborhood, a nice neighborhood, and one neighbor has a flag up that says "Make America Great Again." It's like, okay, I get that. Somebody else, and I was disappointed to see this today, has a sign in their yard, and it says, and I'm just going to say what the sign says, "Joe and the Hoe Must Go." And what disappointed me so much about that is I can understand if you're a Democrat or a Republican, you want to make America great again, but the second sign seemed honestly kind of beneath this person, and I don't mean to call him out on the air. Nobody knows who I'm talking about here, but it just seems like, well, that's kind of misogynistic and racist, and I don't know what that's really got to do with Republican or Democratic philosophy or ideology. Thoughts?
Right. I mean, so it's not like there hasn't always been extremes in the country, but there used to be a much bigger middle, a middle ground where people were more moderate, were more open. And key to being that middle is they're more open to both sides. And we don't see the other side as a villain. And that is what's disappeared so much. And we used to be able to disagree without being disagreeable. But now it seems like in order to disagree, we have to be disagreeable. And that's a problem for our civic discourse.
So I was asking the audience if their spouse knows who they vote for. One text comes in. My fiance knows who I'm voting for. If she likes it, then cool. If not, then cool. Both mature enough to not give a damn. Somebody else texted in and said, yes, all my business is and should be my wife's business. Spouses should become one. I am yours and you are mine, mind and body. What does political science say about, because the reason I bring that up is, the Democrats, given abortion rights and so forth, have taken to a campaign theme of, you know what, you don't have to tell your husband who you vote for. You can vote for whomever you want because it's a private vote, right? And I just wonder if political science has shown one way or the other how the relationship between couples affects how they vote or who they vote for or who has control over what.
Right. Well, this gets back to our identity. You know, who do we think we are and how we identify, you know, with politics? So partisanship, even from the very first times it was being studied, this goes back to the 1950s, was seen as partisanship is seen as something that a lot of people adopt as part of our identity. It's something that, if I'm going to describe who I am, it would be one of the things I list. And when it becomes a part of our identity, it becomes something that we wouldn't be able to be married or we wouldn't be able to even date somebody who doesn't share that identity. So I oftentimes in class will say, you know, to describe this, if you go on a blind date and the thing you find out is that the person is the opposite party, what would you do? And so if you would leave or you would be disgusted, that means the partisanship has become a part of your identity. And in reality, that's become more and more prevalent these days. And so to the extent that we have these divided marriages, it's actually reduced, over the last number of years, again, because of this partisanship where people have to feel aligned with their partner.
R's flock to R's and D's flock to D's.
Yeah, exactly. And not only just in marriage, but in where they move, right? So there's been this big sort over the last 30 years, too, where people will move, whether consciously or unconsciously, they tend to move to places where they see people like them. And part of who them is their partisanship. And so you're less likely to even come in contact in your daily life with people of the opposite partisanship. And that's, again, another problem for our democracy.
Okay, say they say that...
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The election is razor close. Pennsylvania, come to find out, or Philadelphia, I think it is, has the highest concentration of Puerto Rican people, second only to Puerto Rico itself. Pennsylvania is a swing state. You know about the controversial remarks made at the Donald Trump rally. Matter of fact, the guy that made those remarks, DraftKings, is considering reevaluating their association with him as a brand ambassador. And if DraftKings drops you, man, that's the bottom. That's if DraftKings doesn't want to do business with you, I don't know how worse it could get than that. We'll talk about the effects that could have on the election. We come back, 621 Traffic Now, WWL. All right, 626, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Aaron Dusso, Associate Professor of Political Science at Indiana University, Indianapolis. Tim Zimmer's in my ear about George Lopez telling a joke at a rally about Mexicans. You had this guy at the Trump rally calling the people of Puerto Rico, saying that they were at a floating island of garbage. And they called it Puerto Rico. I don't know if people understand it or not, but Puerto Ricans are American citizens, and they vote. The second largest population of Puerto Ricans to Puerto Rico is in Philadelphia or in Pennsylvania. That's a swing state. You can feel however you want about George Lopez's joke or about this guy's joke. The only point I'm trying to make is, does it have an effect on the election? So, Professor, take it from there.
Well, I mean, a big difference there is, of course, having it, at a political rally. This is someone that you're essentially putting up as a representative yourself when you have them at your own rally, and certainly one as high profile as Madison Square Garden. But the challenge here for Trump,
and to be clear, let me just say this. Lopez said, Trump said he's going to build a wall, and you better build it in one day, because if you leave that material out there overnight, and the suggestion was that it would be stolen. But go ahead. I just wanted to get that out.
Right. So, but the challenge for Donald Trump has been he's never been able to crack that 47% of the vote. He won in 2016. That's because we had almost 4% of voters voted third party. We're unlikely to have that big a third party vote. It's probably going to be less than 2%. And so the challenge for Trump has been he really needs to get more than 47%, probably closer to 48% of the vote, in order to get this Electoral College win. Where was this extra vote, 1%, 1.5% going to come from? And so some of the hope has been that he's been polling really well with Latino men and with black men, particularly younger black men. And so the thought was that maybe he's been able to make this inroads and gain that 1% of the vote from these non-white voters. He's obviously very strong with white people, but, that he needed to get more than what he's had in the past. And so the thought is that there it was. He was going to get it. So when you have a rally like this right at the end, you're having, this is going to be questionable whether or not you're going to actually get these people to turn out, because they can still want to support you, but you've got to get them to turn out to vote and actually do it. And that's a problem. You know, people could be turned off by that, and they'll end up staying home.
And the difference, I would say, is that George Lopez is Mexican-American. I don't think the guy that made the joke about Puerto Rico is Puerto Rican, is he?
Right, correct. I mean, there's a big difference between who's allowed to make jokes about communities and who's not. And it's clear, you know, as far as I know, that, you know, he's a white guy, a comedian who's done that. And he's probably made those jokes before in different venues, and no one cares. But when you're on that big a venue, it matters.
So if you had to say right now the election's going to turn on, not pick a side, but if you had to guess what the election is going to turn on, you would say turnout?
It's going to be turnout, but in the gender makeup of the electorate, because there's a big gender gap. And right now, women vote more, have hit, last couple elections and vote more, about 52%. But some of this early voting is suggesting that they're going to, they might even be more than that. So early voting is suggesting 54%. That would be a huge win for Harris, because there's, right now it's projecting her at plus 15 among women. And that would be enough to put her over the top.
If people vote early and then they pass away, isn't that the same as dead people voting or not?
And, well, no, because they were alive when they voted, their vote still counts.
You get my point, right?
right. But just because we don't count it until after Election Day, because theory, a state could start counting the votes right away. Some states do. They just don't release those numbers. So it's just the technicality of what the law is in that state.
Thank you, Professor. I appreciate your time. We'll talk to you again soon. We'll take a break. We come back. We're going to talk about illegal immigration. Right now, time for WWL First News.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.